Okay, on page Kuf Chaf Dalet, today we're going to learn the story of Yechonyahu HaMelech, the last king in the line of Malchi Yehuda. Okay, so let's learn the story. For those who learned Malachim days once upon a time, maybe you'll recognize the story, but let's see. Yechonyahu HaMelech, Hu Yehoyachin HaMelech, Yechonyahu, also known as Yehoyachin, he was the last link in the chain of the kings of Yehuda. And even though he writes in parentheses, even though after Yehoyachin, Tzidkiyahu HaMelech ruled for 11 years until the Chorban, Tzidkiyahu was actually older than him. He was his uncle. Achiv shel Yehoyakim, aviv shel Yehoyachin. So again, just to get the family tree down clear, Yehoyachin was the son of Yehoyakim, and Yehoyakim's brother was Tzidkiyahu. So even though Tzidkiyahu ruled after Yehoyachin, Yehoyachin was in fact the last in terms of age. He was the last link, so to speak, in the chain of the Malchi Yehuda. Hu lo halach b'derech haTorah. Yehoyachin was not exactly a tzaddik. It says at the end of Malachim Beis, towards the end of Malachim Beis, it says that he did evil in the eyes of Hashem. And Yirmiyahu HaNavi, so to speak, sentenced Yehoyachin to a very bitter end. He prophesied, he said, Ha'etzev nivzeh nafutz ha'ish hazeh, kinayahu, hu Yechonyahu. He said, like a rejected, broken pot will be Yehoyachin. Im kli ein chefetz bo. Right? Like an object that no one wants. Eretz, eretz, aretz. Interesting. Sounds like a good trivia question. Where do we find three words in a row in Tanakh that are exactly the same letters? There it is. Eretz, eretz, aretz. Shimi dvar Hashem. Land, land, land. Listen to the word of Hashem. In other words, he was decreeing in this world in the clearest of ways. Kawamar Hashem, kisvu asaish hazeh ariri. Let it be written, let it be known that this man will be ariri. He'll be barren. He won't have children. This is the end of the line. Yehoyachin is the end of the line. Adkan, Malchus Yehuda, this is it. Gever lo yitzlach biyamav. A person who will be completely unsuccessful in his life, in his ways. Ki lo yitzlach mizaro ish yoshev akisei David. Because it will not be someone who comes from him who will continue the Davidic dynasty, Umoshel Od B'Yehuda, and will continue to rule and to govern in Yehuda. In other words, Klomar, Hanavi Yirmiyahu Mechari Foso Umenabe Alav Al Pi Hashem Ki Lo Yishar Mimenu Sarid. Yirmiyahu Hanavi spoke in very sharp terms with a nevuah, Al Pi Hashem, that there will not remain a Sarid, a remnant. There will be nothing left of him. Yehoyachin, you're a Rasha, you do bad in the eyes of Hashem, and you're the end of the line. So said the holy and righteous Yirmiyahu HaNavi in the name of God. Via Ariri, and he'll be without children. V'geza Malchus Beis David, lo ye nimshach al yado. And the Malchus of Beis David will no longer continue through him because of his Aik of Maisav Haram, because of his evil actions. Okay, so we're talking about a bad person who had a very sharp, a very charif, Hanavi Yirmiyahu Micharif, a very sharp nevuah against him. However, what we're going to learn today, again, in just one simple story, is how Yehoyachin, by making one really good choice in his life, was able to turn back the entire prophecy against him. Va'amnam, bottom line of the page. Va'amnam ka'avur shlosha chadashim lamalcho. At the beginning of his Malchus, Golis Bavel began. The Nebuchadnezzar came and exiled the Jews. Turn to the top of the next page. Ba huglu mi Yerushalayim ha-melech Yehoyachin v'chol gedolei ha-am lidei Nebuchadnezzar. That Yehoyachin and all of the leaders of that generation were exiled from Jerusalem at the hands of Nebuchadnezzar. Kamosha Kosov, again as we find also, right there at the end of Malachim Beis. First it tells us Yehoyachin is doing bad in the eyes of Hashem, and then it says that Nebuchadnezzar came and exiled a mass exile from Jerusalem. Vehiglas kol Yerushalayim, veskol hasarim, veskol giburei achayil aseres alafim gola. 10,000 people were exiled. Vechol hacharesh v'hamasker, all of the chashuv leaders of Yerushalayim, right, the sarim, the giburei achayil, as well as the charesh u'masker, as well as the artisans and the craftsmen and the carpenters. So basically, Nebuchadnezzar, like many of our greatest enemies, Yimach Shemam V'Zichram, didn't distinguish from the Pashat Yidin to, so to speak, the leaders of the Sanhedrin. Everyone was kicked out. Right? Not everyone, but a sizable portion were kicked out. V'Eim HaMelech, and Yoyachin was kicked out with his family. V'Yavi'eim Melech Bavel Gola Bavela. And Nebuchadnezzar took them into exile in Bavel. Who was part of this exile? Famously, Mordechai. Imo galu az Mordechai etzadik, writes of Yaakov Meir Shechter. Amongst the exiled community was Mordechai etzadik. K'moshim is super alav v'Megillas Esther. As we learn in Megillas Esther, right? Ish Yehudi. There was this great man named Mordechai. And we read it, of course, in the sad trap. Asher hagla miYushalayim, imagola asher higlasa im yachanya melech Yehuda. Right, very sad. Mordechai, this righteous person who's going to be obviously instrumental in the Purim story, right? But we lament the fact that Mordechai was part of the exile that was exiled by Nebuchadnezzar in the time period of Yehoyachin. V'imo galu gedolei doro v'sanhedrin, k'moshim super batanach. And along with Mordechai were the gedolei ador, members of the Sanhedrin. It was mamash, a very broken period in Jewish history, and it was all under the it was in the early stages of the leadership of this wicked king, Yehoyachin ben Yehoyakim. Okay, let's go further. It says the Medrash, Medrash Rabbah in Parshas Mitzora, Muva shen Nebuchadnezzar natal es Yechaniah v'chav shuv beis ha'asurim. Yehoyachin was taken and he was put into captivity. He was thrown into jail, into the dungeons. V'onash beis ha'asurim, Hayaz kasha adlamod, and being put into jail, right? Certainly in those times was a very, very dark and difficult experience. Ki kol mishahaya nechvash biyamav, lo hayyotze misham laolam. Everyone had a life sentence. If you went to jail, there was no leaving jail. There was no, you know, parole. There was no negotiating. As it says, as we see in the Navi Yeshaya, in the 14th parak, asirav lo pasach baisa. His captives, his prisoners, lo pasach baisa, never, so to speak, opened the door, never left the house. Once you were in, you were there to stay until your death. Perish sheme olam lo pasach es beis klau lasirav shiachsu lebeisa. He never opened the door to his jail to let people go home. So when Yoyachin was thrown into jail, this was it. There was no undoing the damage that was done. Now you have to realize again, this was, so to speak, the last link in Malchus Yehuda, right? Malchus Beis David. So needless to say, the tzaddikim of the generation were very concerned about this. If Yoyachin goes down without children, as the Navi Yirmiyah had already prophesied, so that's it. What happens to Mashiach? So look what happens. V'inei ha-netzer ha-achron le-Malchus Yehuda nechvash al yedei ha-melech ha-gadol Nebuchadnezzar. The very, very, very evil and powerful Nebuchadnezzar had taken the last of the kings of Yehuda, had thrown him into jail, into captivity. Nebuchadnezzar shaya moshel bekipa. Nebuchadnezzar, whose dominance was absolute. His moshel bekipa means he ruled, what's a kippa? Like a dome. He ruled like a dome. In other words, his rule was what? Was all-encompassing. You were closed in. When you were in Nebuchadnezzar's when you were under Nebuchadnezzar's dome, so to speak, there was no escaping. Shekaamor mehakela hazeh lo yatza la'olam l'chavshi. As we explained, that anyone who went into this kela means a jail. Anyone who went into this prison never came out free, never was set free. Ubanim lohayu lo ad az. And we had a real problem here because Yehoyachin didn't have children at this point. So what's going to be with Malchus Beis David? And it was exactly what Yirmiyahu had predicted. Asher shama alavas devar Hashem, in relaying the word of God, When Yirmiyahu said, again, we read the pasuk a few moments ago, "Kisu asaisha ze ariri, gever lo yitzlach v'yavav," that it should be signed and sealed that this person, this evil king, will not have children, and he will not be matzliach. He will be forgotten. Well, if he's forgotten, the whole lineage of Malchus Beis David is going to go down with him. No? So what happened that turned things around? And why are we still on track to bring Mashiach to Mehera B'Yameinu? So he writes in the bottom paragraph, "Uvemedrisham, shachachamim shebaoso dor, ra'u shachalila hinei holeches v'nechreses la'ineya Malchus Beis David." The Medrash explains that the chachamim of that generation were terrified, because they saw with their own eyes that, God forbid, the Malchus of Beis David was about to be extinguished before their eyes. Nechreses la'ineyam, cut off before their eyes. What's going to be? V'ra'asham b'perish teferes Sion. And if you look in the perish of the Teferes Sion on the Medrash, the Sanhedrin had to come up with a plan. Sha'Sanhedrin yadu sha'melech Mashiach tzarech letzeis dafka me'ageza hazeh shel Yoyachin. And if you'll say, well, again, he was the last link in terms of age, but he wasn't the only person from Malchus Beis David in the world. But Chazal, the Sanhedrin, somehow understood that Malchus Beis David had to continue through Yehoyachin. And now they were really stuck, because Yehoyachin's sitting in jail. He doesn't have descendants. He doesn't have an heir to the throne. And Yirmiyahu's nevuah seems to be coming true. And Chazal are very nervous. Sanhedrin were very nervous. So the Sanhedrin worked with great wisdom and creativity to remove this frightful situation. They were terrified. What does this mean in terms of the trajectory of Klal Yisrael? Right? To do whatever they could to somehow stop the, so to speak, the last remnant of this family being extinguished. V'holchu v'ishpiyu al hagadeles shegidla es malkat Nebuchadnezzar. So they went to the maid, the woman, the nurse, the maid, the household help who had raised the queen of Nebuchadnezzar. Meaning they needed to use back channels. They wanted to get to Nebuchadnezzar, obviously, but they couldn't go to Nebuchadnezzar and say, "Hi, can you free Malchei, the Melech of Yehuda? Can you free Yehoyachin?" He would have laughed in their face. To go to the queen, to go to Nebuchadnezzar's wife, was also too direct. So they went by way of the woman who had raised Nebuchadnezzar's wife, I guess when she was a little girl. V'dibra im hamalka, and they used that as a way to get to the queen. Asher ishpia al bala melech, hoping that in turn, if they could, you know, bribe, so to speak, the back channels, then hopefully it'll trickle its way up to Nebuchadnezzar, and eventually they'll get what they want. Right, that hopefully the wife of Nebuchadnezzar will have a hashpa on her husband. And what did they want? They didn't want Yehoyachin to be freed, because that was never going to happen. But they wanted Yehoyachin's malka, Yehoyachin's queen, Yehoyachin's wife, to be allowed into the jail cell so that they could have children, and she could become pregnant. V'achin al pi ishuro shel melech Nebuchadnezzar, turn the page, and it was through the permission that was granted by Nebuchadnezzar, hechina atzma malchus Yehoyachin, the wife of Yehoyachin eventually was granted permission, right? She counted, she was tovel, in other words, she waited 7 days, counted the nida process, she went to the mikvah in accordance with the halacha, v'shil shalua derech hachalon. And like the pasuk said, they never opened the doors of the jail. They never opened the front door, so they let her in through a window. They lowered her down through a window. V'yesh omrim, and some even say shepasu es ma'azivas hatikra, that they opened the, made a hole in the roof. U'misham horidua, and they let her in through that. But again, according with the law of the land, they couldn't open the, you know, the door to the jail. That was off limits. But somehow they got rishus. Somehow they were able to work it in such a way that she was able to be granted access to his jail cell. Because again, in accordance with the law of the land, you weren't allowed to enter through the front door. So here she was. Here they are, through the efforts of the Sanhedrin, through using back channels to get to Nebuchadnezzar, climbing through windows, preparing herself to be pure to her husband, and she's ready to hopefully become impregnated and continue Malchus Beis David, leading us towards Mashiach. Umiyad Amrolo, and she says to him, Kishoshana Aduma Ra'isi. All of a sudden she says, uh-oh, I see a red blood stain. Something had gone wrong with her menstrual cycle, and she was no longer permitted to her husband. Miyad Piresh Mimena. And you can imagine the intensity of that moment, after all that, you know, anticipation, but immediately, he separated from her. He separated from her. Okay, you're not permitted to me. V'hochecha letzeis ulispor shuv litaher. And she needed to leave and to count clean days again and to go to the mikvah again. And the whole cycle started over. V'ayin sham beperish teferet zion, shebehachnasa b'sheinis elav, kvar nichnasa derech ha-pesach, ha-yidei rishyon miyuchad shel ha-melech. And the Teferes Sion brings that by the second time she entered the room, they got special permission, mamish, a rule that overturned all the rules, to enter by way of the door, which was unheard of, kevin shelo haya aleha din asir. Because by that point, he was no longer considered a prisoner. The process towards his freedom was actually in motion. Now, what was the moment, right, that kept Malchus Beis David alive? And here's Rav Yaakov Meir Schechter's point. And it's not a new point, but it's a powerful story to make the point. Uva osa shah shira kadosh baruch hu, as hanisayon hagadol sha'amad bo. When Hashem saw that with almost superhuman strength, in this moment of nisayon, right, in his longing to be with his wife, when he saw that Yochanan was able to make the right choice in that moment, Miyad hitir eshvuaso umacholo al kol avonosav. It was in that moment that Hashem decided, not only would Nebuchadnezzar open the door, so to speak, would break through the doors, because that's the power of a person who's omed b'nisayon, a person who overcomes a challenge. You never understand. We don't know how a single nisayon could define your whole existence. Yosef becomes forever Yosef HaTzadik, because one time he overcame a really difficult nisayon. So the same thing here. Malchus Beis David was a flickering light about to be extinguished. And because Yehoyachin made one right choice in controlling himself, HaKadosh Baruch Hu reneged and retracted the whole nevuah of Yirmiyahu. He caused Nebuchadnezzar to have a change of heart. Right? He allowed Malchus Beis David to continue. He was matir the shrua, again, that oath, Eretz, Eretz, Aretz, that Yirmiyahu said, I decree there'll never be anything from Yehoyachin. It was all overturned. His averos were forgiven. And it was all because of what? Because he was omer b'nisayon. Because he stepped up to the challenge. Kol zeh muva b'medrash ayin sham. And all of this is described there in the Medrash. Take a look over there. Chevra, it's very interesting. In this week's Parsha, the firstborn rights are being sold from Esav to Yaakov. He comes home on that day. It was the day Chazal tell us that Avram Avinu passed away, and that's why he's making Yaakov's preparing the soup. Yeah, and he comes back to the field and he's ayef. Vayazid Yaakov Nazid, Yaakov was making some type of stew. Vayavo Esav min asada, vahu ayef. What was the soup and why is Esav so ayef? So the soup, Rashi says, is because it was for the avelus of Avram Avinu. Right? That's why it's lentil soup. Rashi gives a couple explanations what that's about. What's Esav so ayef about? So I heard once an amazing explanation. Why is there a tuma that comes with misa? What is tuma semes? Why is contact with a corpse such a terrible idea? Why does it bring such a severe tuma on a person? Come on, ava tuma. Corpse is avi avos hatuma. Right? What's so tummy about a corpse? What do you think? Now, why does Esav, when he comes upon, let's think about it in this way, when Esav encounters the corpse of Avraham Avinu and he comes back and he sees that Avraham is dead, all of a sudden he's ayef. Not just ayef from being out in the fields and hunting. It's his encounter with the dead body of Avraham Avinu that Esav feels ayef. Amalek makes us ayef also. What's Esav so tired about when he encounters the corpse, yeah, of Avraham Avinu? What does ayef mean? You're saying that void of the neshama, right, leaving the body as just a body, makes the tuma. Hey, what? Okay. Neshama is sort of protecting the body from the tuma because the body is so physical that it's sort of drawn, tuma attracts itself to it, and as soon as the neshama leaves, right, it's like the guard, you know, leaving the leaving whatever it is that it was watching over, and all of a sudden, now all the kochos of tumah come charging at it. That's where the tumah comes from. But there's something very misleading about a dead body. There's a certain lie that's expressed by a dead body. And as a way of keeping us away from that lie, the dead body has a tumah, because we don't want to interact with it too much. Esav seeing Avram's dead body is a very negative experience for him, to the point that he's prepared to sell the Bechorah. And essentially, what does he say? I'm going to die anyways. I mean, clearly he's responding to the death of Avraham Avinu. Oh, Avraham died? Well, I'm going to die anyways, so what do I need the Bechorah for? And then you'll notice the Pasuk says right after, Pasuk Lamed Dalet, Chafei Lamed Dalet, the Pasuk says, listen to this, the Pasuk says, the pasuk says, I'm going to die anyways. What do I need the birthright for? So, fine, he sells it to him. And then what does Esav do? He gives him the food. Vayochal, he eats. Vayesht, and he drinks. Vayakam, and he gets up. Vayelach, and he goes. No, what's the pshat? He eats, he drinks, he comes, he goes. When you sell the birthright, when you sell your connection to Elokus, which is really what the birthright was, the opportunity, like Rashi says, to be a Kohen, to be a real Eved Hashem, right? Your life just becomes nothing other than eating and drinking and coming and going, from one meal to the next. I go to work, I come home, I eat dinner, I go to sleep, I get up, I eat breakfast, I go to work, I come home from work, I eat dinner, I go to sleep. Right? Vayochal, it's a strange lashon. Vayochal, vayesht, vayakam, vayelech. That becomes his whole life. He ate, he drank, he got up, and he left. He ate, he drank, he got up, and he left. That became the whole life of Esav, because he sold the birthright. But what was it that he saw in the death of Avraham Avinu that he misunderstood? And why is there a tumah in general when it comes to death? Why does Hashem want us to stay away from that tumah? And the answer is because death is a lie. There's a big lie that comes with death. What's the lie? That you think it's over. It's not over. One of the principles of our faith is Tchiyas HaMesim. It's one of the deepest expressions of our emunah. We say it every day as part of our Shmona Esrei. We say a brach on it, how much we believe in it. Mechaye HaMesim. So Esav looked at the dead body of Avram and says, what? This is what happens? So a person who spends his whole life believing in God, he dies anyways. So lama zeh li b'chor? What do I need the b'chor for? If I'm going to die, then why should I work hard for God? You fool. Avram's death is not death. There's not a permanence to death. Death is only a temporary stage. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu made something called caterpillars and butterflies. A caterpillar makes its own coffin, buries itself. It looks like it's never going to come back. And not only does it come back, it comes back much more beautiful than when it first looked like it was all over. So why am I telling you all of this? I'm telling you all this because Jehoiachin also, it looks like it's the end of the story. He's locked in jail by the most dominant evil king, Nebuchadnezzar. He himself is a Rasha. It's not like he has schus. He's not a good guy who's being held in captivity who Hashem's coming to save. The Navi Yirmiyah has already issued his prophecy in the name of Hashem, in the strongest of terms, that Yehoyachin, nothing is going to come from you. And yet, when it looks like it's all over, he's Omid ben Yisayon, and everything changes. The whole situation changes. Because he made one right choice. As the Sanhedrin were trying to overturn the situation, and for a moment it looked like it even got worse, and it was such a letdown, but Yehoyachin was Omid ben Yisayon, and the Shvuah was removed, and his Averos were removed, and the whole thing was overturned. And he was zochet to have a tzaddik, Zerubbabel, come from him. Who is Zerubbabel ben Shaltiel? Why was he called that name? The Gemara explains in Sanhedrin Lamed Ches. Shaltiel, shenishal kiviyachol al alasa. Shaltiel means he inquired and was able to have his Allah, his Shvua, right, revoked. In other words, the person who there was an oath from God, a prophecy from Yirmiyahu Navi against him, Shaltiel, he was Nishal. Nishal means to request of the Chacham to undo your neder. And Hashem himself undid the neder. Zerubbabel, look at the name. Zerubbabel, Shenizra B'Bavel. That he was able to be fruitful in Bavel. Perish Rashi, Shenishal ala lasu lahatir lo gezerah shenishba kadosh baruch hu, Shaloya ben. That he was able to, again, be released from that vow that Hashem made against him, that he will not have children. And not only did some, you know, rabbi, a contemporary of Yirmiyahu, release him from the oath, Hashem himself undid the oath. And Zerubbabel, in the place where it looked like he was totally trapped. Zerubbabel, Zera, Malchus Beis David was able to continue. It continued to sprout. And this Zerubbabel who came in the merit of what? Of his iskafia, of his self-control. Right? To be kofa means to what? To suppress. Because he held back. Because he made one right choice. Because one time he made the right choice, he was able to control himself. He was zochet to a son, Zerubbabel, Hayaoz Sadik Hador. Who went not from, you know, being Rab Be'enei Hashem like his father, Yehoyachin, to being someone who was an okay guy, right? But he became a Gevaldik Tzaddik because his father made one right choice. V'alav Amru Chazal, and Chazal say about him, Osir HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lios Yoshev B'Gan Eden V'Doresh. In the future, Hashem is going to sit in Gan Eden, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give Shir. V'chol HaTzaddikim Yoshevim Lefanav. And all the tzaddikim of all the generations are going to be sitting, listening to Hashem's drasha. The cave and Shemesayim as Haggadah. And when Hashem finishes the shir, Omeid Zerubbabel ben Shaltiel al Raglav, V'omer Yiskadal v'Yiskadash. Who they're going to honor with the Kaddish at the end of the shir? Rabbi Chanani ben Akashi Omer, Ratz HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lezakas, it's Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to say, no, Zerubbabel, B'chavar. That in Hashem's shir with all the Gedolei Olam, all the tzaddik of all the generations, he's going to get up, he's going to be the one to say the Kaddish, the Rabbanon, v'kol ha'holech b'soif ha'olam ad sofa. And his voice is going to resound around all of the worlds, v'chol bay olam kulam onam achrav amen. And the whole world can respond to the Kaddish of Zerubbabel. V'av risha Yisrael v'tzaddike akim. And even wicked Jews and righteous Gentiles, onim v'omrim amen mitoch gehenim. U'mizrai sh'olam, the whole world is going to be trembling from the Kaddish of Zerubbabel. Which will be zoichet to say at the end of a Kaddish Baruch Hu's shir, Ad Khan, the words of the Yalkut Shimoni, the Medrash, on Yeshaya. V'oso Zerubbabel, and if that's not enough, says Rav Yaakov Meir Shechter in the bottom paragraph, this Zerubbabel was not only a standalone tzaddik, it was the beginning of the next 1500 years of an awesome line of righteous individuals. Oso Zerubbabel af haya resh galusa. Acher Aviv Shaya Rosh Rishon Leshotonam and Iskav and before Shal Rosh Egalusa. Zerubbabel was the first walking in the footsteps again of his father. He became the Resh Galusa, the head of the exiled community. Shenimshach Shanim Rabos, a position that lasted for many, many years. Vayupei Zayin Rosh Egalusos. There were 87 Jewish leaders who held this lofty position. Ayin Seder Hadoros. Vesifrei Hadoros, look in the Seder Hadoros, which is a famous historical work, and Sefer, and look in the Sifrei Hadoros, look in other historical accounts, Muva odos godol kvodam hadram v'tivartam shal roshe galusos v'godam amadam. You'll learn about the great honor and prestige and esteem of the Resh Galusa for many generations. V'chalku lehem kavod malachim, and they were given the honor of kings. Turn to the next page, the last page of our piece. Middle of the line. Val piem hayu machtirim roshe yeshivos v'dayonim b'chol galilos Yisrael. And the Resh Galusa, the head of the community, was in charge of what? Of assigning Rashi Yeshivos and assigning Dayanim and creating the whole system and network of Torah living and learning. And from the Resh Galusa emerged all of the great yeshivas, which is where all of Shas comes from. Right? All the great mesiftos that emerged. Umamlechas Rashi Hagalusos, Nimshacha Lechol Orech Tkuvas Hatanoim, Vamoraim, Verabonon Savorai, Vagaonim, that out of that world, out of that rulership of the Resh Galusos, emerged the Tanaim, and the Amoraim, and the Savoraim, and the Gaonim, and all the great periods of Jewish learning, it all came really on the heels of one time, Yehoyachin, being Omid ben Nisayim. Erech Shal Elef Echamesh Me'el Shana, 1500 years. Of Jewish living and learning, albeit in somewhat of an exiled state, but so much of our Torah comes out of the single choice of Yehoyachin. So says Rav Yaakov Meir Shechter, what an amazing thing! U'lechol hakavod v'hayakar hazeh shel doros rabim, and all of this great honor, and all of this great accomplishment for many, many generations. Zachu k'totza mikocha shel osa hisgabrus rigais al yitzro shel yachan yamelach. Where does it all come from? It's because once upon a time there was a king who was not so righteous, who had a hisgabrus rigais. For a few moments he was misgabra on his yitzhar. In the moment he made the right choice. Va'odos ruach Hashem avshar pa'ama bikirbo ba'osa shah lahamlich alav es yotzro. That instead of listening to his yitzhar, for that moment, he decided to listen to his Yotzer, to his Creator. He listened to Hashem. Acher shekvar haisa tluya va'omedes alav Allah u'shvua mipi HaKadosh Baruch Hu kiv'yachal ba'atzmo. He didn't fall into that trap of Esav looking at the dead body of Avram Avinu and saying, okay, I guess everyone dies, and so what's the point of working so hard if I'm all ending up in the same way? I might as well eat and drink and come and go and just live a life of olam hazeh. But he didn't understand, right, that even when it's over, for a year, it's never over. And therefore, yes, there was a shrua from Hashem against him. Yes, he was sitting in jail. Yes, the Navi Yirmiyah had spoken his piece. Yes, the Nebuchadnezzar was the most dominant king. All true. And in a natural way, there was no exit plan. He was sitting in the most high security jail in the history of the world. There was no leaving. Not only did they smuggle his wife in and allow her to become pregnant, but more than that, in the end, he actually got out of this high security jail, which was mamish, the biggest chiddush in the world. Evel Meroidach freed him, as we find at the very end of Malachim Beis. Nasa Evel Meroidach Melech Bavel B'Shnas Malko, in the year that Evel Meroidach, the son of Nebuchadnezzar, became king, he Nasa Es Rosh Yehoyachin Melech Yehuda, he lifted up the head of Yehoyachin, king of Yehuda, Mibes Kela, and set him free from jail. Mamash, a complete turn of events. V'yadaber Ito Tovos, and he spoke to him in a positive way. V'yitein Es Kiso Me'al Kisei HaMalachim Asher Ito B'Bavel. And he restored him to a position of royalty, of prominence, even more so than some of the most powerful people of his own inner cabinet, of his own inner world, of the kings of Bavel, of the leaders of Bavel. So says Rav Yaakov Meir Shechter, what do we learn? And do we believe it? We have to believe it. This is our history. Umikan kocha hanifla shel hisgabrus achas al yetzer. From here we learn the power of a single right choice. People get so caught up on saying, you know, if I messed up, you know, or I'm going to mess up, I will mess up, I did mess up, so what difference does it matter if I win this battle in this moment? And the answer is, you don't know which battle is going to change your life forever? Which right decision will change your life forever? Yosef HaTzadik made one right choice, and he became Yosef HaTzadik, the paradigm of holiness forever. Yehoyachin was wallowing in a jail with God's decree hanging over his head, and he made one right choice, and he reversed the whole thing. And from him comes not only all the greatest yeshivas and the greatest Talmidei Chachamim and the greatest success for a long stretch of Jewish history, but the restoration of Malchus Beis David. Yeah. Let's hear. Interesting. So the Ariri became a Hesiris. Right here. Not only will he be successful in his days, he won't be successful in his days, he'll be successful for all days. He's going to take us to the end of this. Yeah, you have to reread the Nevuah. For sure. So again, so look at the Kocha HaNifla of being Misgavra on the Yitzhara. Sheshoveres says, Kol HaMachitzos. Again, he was sitting in the highest maximum security jail in the world, which no one could get out of, and he got out of it. And he got out of it not through, political networking. He got out of it because he made the right choice. And the same way that Yosef HaTzadik's bones show up at the Yam Suf and it just splits for him. Because when you have this inyan of tzidkus, of being misgaber and yitzhara, you can just plow through anything. So Yosef splits water. And Yehoyachin splits open, iron bars and frees himself from jail. Sheshovera says, Kol HaMechitzos U'po'eles gedoilos v'neflos la'ad u'lenetzach netzachem. And again, it wasn't just a personal salvation. It's a salvation for Klal Yisrael. Final paragraph for today. U'kamishpat hazeh noeg Hashem Yisbarach im kol bruav. However, this is not just the story of Yehoyachin. This is the offer that Hashem makes each and every one of us. Where that moment is, which test, which moment of Nisayon that a person's going to, make it through is going to be the one that defines his whole life? I don't know. Sometimes you do know. Sometimes a person feels like it was that moment when I made a certain choice, good or bad, and it totally changed the trajectory of my life. But this reality is offered to all of Hashem's creations, all of Hashem's people. L'chol echad ve'echad l'fi atikun ha-miyuchad lav. We all have those moments where we feel utterly trapped, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us a chance to have that breakthrough. A person sometimes goes through all sorts of turmoil and upheaval and all sorts of suffering, God forbid. That all of this, and maybe the whole thing is that this could be that moment in that person's life, where he's misgaber and he overcomes an isayon, or he accepts a difficulty, b'simcha, shemimena titzmach Yeshua gedola v'nifla, lo, ulabam achav lenetzach. And it becomes, again, something that changes not only himself, but his family and all future generations forever. Okay, so this is the story of Yehoyachin. Hashem should give us the strength to not define ourselves by our previous mistakes. Again, Yehoyachin is called by the Navi, V'yaz hara b'nei Hashem. And Yirmiyahu swore against him that nothing's going to come of him. And he made right choices. He continued to make right choices in the moment and was able to overturn the whole thing. So we shouldn't fall for that lie that Esau fell for. He saw, I'm bad up to anything anyways. I'm going to die anyways. Might as well get rid of my bechora. I might as well give up on trying to live a life of purpose. I might as well just eat and drink and come and go. But of course, that's why Hashem says, Tumas Meis, stay away from dead bodies. Just seeing a dead body drags you down because it perpetuates that lie that there's such a thing called death. Even in death, the Zohar says, there's a kusta dichiyusa, there's a spark that's always alive. Even death is not death. Remember I told you once, the Avodas Yisrael, Kajetz or Magid says, in Parshat Vayishlach, right? How can the Gemara say that sleep is the 60th of death? You remember his question? Who remembers the question? How can you say that sleep is the 60th of death? Right? Sleep and death, they're not comparable at all. How can you say sleep is the 60th of death? When you're sleeping, you're alive. When you're dead, you're dead. They're not comparable. I get the simple muscle. Yeah, sleep, you're not, you know, so mindful. You're not so conscious. I get it. But how can you compare? A sleeping person is alive, a dead person is dead. So the Kasher Shemagid says, if Chazal say sleep is a 60th of death, to even make that comparison, it must be that just like when you're asleep, you're still alive, even though you look a little dead. So it must be, to the extreme, that when you're dead, you're also a little alive, even though you look like you're dead. And he develops the idea that the Zohar talks about, the kusta, the kista d'chiyusa, that little nekuda of life, whether it's the luz bone or whatever, different svarim, different ways of explaining the idea, but even when a person's in the grave, there's some type of rishimo, there's some type of marking of life that remains alive even in death, and it's from that point that tchiyas ha-meis, the person is rebuilt. So that's the danger of tumas meis. That's the danger of coming home and seeing Avram and feeling ayef from that, feeling the amuna sucked out of you because of that. That's what ayef means. A malik attacks us when we're ayef, because a malik draws and sucks out the amuna from a Jew. So our job is to make sure that no matter what the situation is, we continue to believe in the possibility of salvation. Yes? Good question. Meaning there's a lot to learn from the frailty of life, right? That's what Kohelet has to say. You'll gain more by understanding that life is not forever than you will by celebrating a simcha. All right. I hear. Okay. Elu ve'elu. A thing and its opposite are amongst the ways of God. Yeah. No, there's a danger of seeing a mace and thinking death is final. But there's also something to, you know, Hayom la sasam ulumachal kibaschar, meaning now is your chance to do mitzvos. So when you go to a Beis Avel and you see that, wow, people don't last forever, that itself is a you know, chazak wake up call for a person. Yes, David. Kista dechiyusa, a spark remains. I don't know what it means. Am I a Kabbalist? I don't know. It's obviously not a you know, something that. It might be. I don't know how these things work. All I can tell you is what the Zohar says and how tchiyas ha-meisim takes place. Somehow we're rebuilt through that spark that remains. What that means, how that is. I don't know.
Possibly an answerable question, but if the purpose of the Buddha is to tell people what is concretely going to happen, then how can God change that? So
tefillah can overturn it, as we saw, and good choices can overturn it, as we saw. And I think when we overturn it, you have to do what Mordechai Hatzadik over here did. You have to reread the pasuk in a positive way. Right? So if the promise was he was going to be Ariri, you say Ariri means he's going to be reawakened, the Lashon of Isaurus. If it says, Lo Yitzlach B'yamav, Gever Lo Yitzlach B'yamav, you have to say, right. What the Navi was really saying was, not that he won't be successful in his days, he won't only be successful in his days, he'll be successful for generations to come. So it's a rearranging of the letters. That's how the Hasidic Shesvarim explain it. It's all the same letters, but instead of reading it in the negative, we rearrange it and we read in the positive. But that's the power of... That's the power of tshuva. That it could literally overturn a prophecy given by a Navi MS to reassess. It's an amazing thing.